Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Have you heard any Christians say yet what we predicted at our Sunday morning service yesterday in the aftermath of this earthquake and the Christmas tsunamis, that this is evidence that we are in the end times? Have you heard that yet? Well, I'd like to share with you some of what we talked about Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church and show that this earthquake is not evidence that we are in the end times. And it's really sad that Christianity has become so trivial, so shallow, that we're like cultists who are interpreting tea leaves and chicken entrails. Right? You finish your cup of tea, you look at the tea leaves at the bottom of the cup, and you try to interpret it. What does it say? Are you going to get married into money or not? And so we look at things happening in the world, and we interpret them in very embarrassing ways. Well, 6 o'clock Christmas night, as millions of Americans were still celebrating, halfway around the world and miles below the ocean, an extraordinary earthquake occurred. And now for those in Southeast Asia, the victims of the most powerful earthquake in 40 years, they will need to come to terms with the deaths of more than 22,000 people. And the death toll keeps increasing by hundreds of people every hour. They'll have to deal with this tragic human loss from these tsunamis that hit 6 countries, caused by an earthquake measuring 9.0 on the Richter scale. Now, we are Christians. Those, if you are a Christian, born-again Christian, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, representatives of God on earth. And as those who read his word and share God's truth with others, it is incumbent upon us to deal with the questions that arise from such an event in a rational way, in a truthful way. What does this earthquake tell us about God? What does it tell us about the world we live in? What does it say about the past? And what does it tell us about the future? Well, we should think through these questions so that we're prepared to talk to others, believers and unbelievers. Many Christians, now this was said at Denver Bible Church yesterday morning, verbatim, in the sermon. You could get the tape. Many Christians latch onto every tragic report of an earthquake, taking Christ's comment about earthquakes out of context, and they will wrongly claim in the coming weeks that this earthquake is evidence that we are in the last days. And that therefore, as the world remembered Christ's first coming, here we are with the Christmas tsunamis, and now God has sent us a sign of his son's second coming. That's not true. That's not what's happening, and it's becoming an embarrassment for Christians to say things like this for centuries, for millennia. So we're going to talk about that. Other Christians will use the earthquake to further the atheistic worldview that the earth is billions of years old. And perhaps they're well-meaning, but seduced by worldly, godless science. They'll claim that the super slow motion of plate tectonics not only produced our mountain ranges, but it also caused this earthquake. And we will see, on the other hand, that so many great earthquakes are evidence of a recent global flood, which rattled the crust of a young earth. And then regarding the world that we live in, the political climate of our globe, the primary international response to this tragedy will be governmental. And governments are simply the largest corporations in the world. Institutions which will now spend tax money, basically bureaucrats who will spend other people's money to alleviate the suffering. But the problem is that because of sin, human beings have difficulty spending other people's money wisely, and much of the effort will be more political than actual help. And then finally, we should think about what this tells us about God, pointing out that those who hate God, and many of those who love him, will somewhat join forces and mislead the masses. Atheists, they'll tell us that this kind of suffering proves that a loving God does not exist. And of course, that's blasphemous. And it assumes that there is no value or purpose in suffering. And at the same time, many Christians, on the other hand, they turn God into a sadist. And they will tell the world that God orchestrated these tsunamis, that he handpicked the children who would be crushed, and those who would lose their homes and entire families, suggesting that God micromanages our lives, and that not sin, not sin, but God himself produces all the misery, pain, and wickedness that we experience. So let's think through this. What do these Christmas tsunamis tell us about the future? Well, if you search in the Bible for the word earthquakes, plural earthquakes, you'll only find reference to Christ's prophecy that in the end times there will be wars, famines, pestilence, signs in the heavens, and earthquakes. And that you find these in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Well, when a dramatic event occurs, an earthquake, a disease, an epidemic, a war, rumors of wars, you hear Christians saying, look at the sign. That's it. We're in the end times. Whenever these dramatic events occur, a comet passes overhead, a century ends, or a new millennia begins. Remember Y2K? Or an international alliance forms, or treaties are signed or broken. Those who look for Christ's return can easily let their emotion cloud their judgment, and they tell the world that this sign means that Christ is coming back soon. And of course, these things, taken together, have happened thousands of times in the last 2,000 years. Just in the last millennium, just to mention a few, Halley's Comet's come by about 30 times we know of. It came by in 1989. Hey, that's almost 1,000 years after Christ's birth. Europe suffered the Black Plague, World War I, World War II, right? The invention of automobiles and planes brought travel to the masses, like Daniel talks about people traveling. And the information age brought the explosion of knowledge, as Daniel talks about knowledge in his end times context. Israel became a nation in 1948. They recaptured Jerusalem in their 1967 war. Right, all this, that Britain's chief mathematician, he wrote a book in the 1600s, and he said that the Bible identified his generation as the last, based on Bible prophecy. The Plymouth Brethren said the 1830s was the last generation, and it wasn't. Hal Lindsey wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth, and led millions to believe that the second coming would be in 1988, and it wasn't. So as for the future, we should correct any Christian who says that this tragedy predicts Christ's soon coming. Remind him that Christ had predicted that he would return before all his disciples had died. That's what Christ predicted. He said, before you have time to go to all the villages in Israel, I will return. He said that this generation, the generation he was speaking to, he said this generation will not pass until all these end times prophecies are fulfilled. He said, what if I want John, my apostle, to remain alive until I return? He said, there are some of you standing here today who will not die until the Son of Man returns in power in his kingdom. So he said all that. He didn't say he'd come back 2,000 years in the future. He said, I come back soon. That's why in the book of Acts, they were expecting he would return soon. And that's why they all sold their land and their homes, because they thought he was coming right back, because he told them he'd come back quickly. But he did not. Why not? Because Israel rejected their risen Messiah. And so God could not give them their kingdom because they rejected their king, as he said he would in Jeremiah 18. He said, if I say I'm going to give Israel a kingdom and they reject me, then I will not give them the kingdom I prophesied I would. I will not give them the kingdom I said I would. I will not do what I thought I would do. I won't do it because they're rejecting me. How could I give them a kingdom? And so instead, God turned to the body of Christ and grafted in Jew and Gentile equally, and he's now working with the body of Christ. And those specific prophecies are now not exactly relevant. Not until God is done with the body of Christ, till the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and then he will return to Israel, as Paul writes in Romans 11. Okay, so what do these Christmas tsunamis tell us about the past? Since they don't tell us that we are in the last days. They don't tell us that Christ is coming in the near future. I hope he does, but they don't tell us that. Well, what do they tell us about the past? They tell us that the past was not all that long ago. That's what they tell us. The past was not all that long ago. By that, I mean that the young Earth, that's the model for understanding geology and to help geologists make predictions of future geologic events. The Earth has not been settling for 5 billion years. If so, it should be mostly settled down by now. It should be much more inert than it is. Rather, the Bible indicates that God created the Earth only about 6,000 years ago, and scientific observations, including this enormous earthquake, scientific observations disprove theories of billions of years. And since the Earth is still reeling from Noah's flood, which was recent, the global catastrophe that occurred less than 5,000 years ago, it's not surprising to find the crust of the Earth still settling by way of major earthquakes, which can cause enormous human suffering. You know what happens during an earthquake? The Earth becomes a little bit smaller, albeit only slightly so, because, you know, gravity is pulling everything downward. And an earthquake occurs when the Earth, like the package of the Earth, if you will, it becomes a little tighter. It becomes tighter, smaller. Something gives way. The floor of the ocean, in this case, gave way and collapsed. And this occurred a couple hundred miles west of Sumatra. In fact, the entire island of Sumatra moved about 100 feet. The entire island. And when the floor of the ocean collapsed, this is miles of seawater above that were rapidly displaced, falling inward, and causing an enormous backsplash. And the ripples, the giant ripples of that, brought destruction and death to thousands of people, as the reporting of the death toll has now reached 22,000 people, increasing by hundreds of newly discovered deaths per hour. Not only are there eyewitness reports of the waves, but there's even from Thailand extraordinary amateur video that's now been released showing footage of a wall of water coming across the beach and hitting the first line of hotels and just passing them as though they were sandcastles on the beach and carrying cars and debris for blocks inland. Just devastating what happened. Villages and cities for thousands of miles along coastlines have been devastated. Indonesia had tsunamis strike across 1,000 miles of its coastline. Now, this year, twice I debated Dr. John Nichol, once officially a moderated debate, and the second time a bit more informally. He's a geophysicist and the president of the prestigious Environmental and Engineering Geophysical Society. We debated about the age of the Earth. And after the second event, my friend Art Risley and others were there. John said to me, if I could paraphrase, I wasn't writing this down, but he said, do you realize that if the Earth is younger, then as geologists, we should warn governments that the Earth is not as stable as we have been claiming? and that future earthquakes could occur in more locations, and they could be more devastating than we would otherwise predict. And I said, exactly, exactly. Now, these Christmas tsunamis, they are evidence of that, right? They are evidence of that. This is the first time there have been tsunamis in the Indian Ocean in 120 years. So, see, if the Earth is billions of years old, it's been settling, it should be more well settled than it is. And so we believe that earthquakes could be more deadly, and they could occur in places that geologists think are completely stable, because the Earth has not been settled for billions of years. The whole crust of the Earth was rattled by the global flood just 5,000 years ago. This tragedy tells us that the Earth is still young and it is still settling from Noah's flood. That's what it tells us about the past. Now, what does it tell us about the world that we live in? Well, it tells us that human beings are basically sinners, that they're not basically good as liberals teach, but as the Bible declares, men are sinners who need salvation by Christ. In the country of Sri Lanka, so hard hit by the waves, police report that about 200 prisoners in Matara have escaped after massive tidal waves demolished their prison. Well, they're criminals, so you'd expect them to behave like criminals. But the police also there have reported that average citizens are taking advantage of their own neighbors who have been hit so hard by this tragedy, with widespread looting occurring. So people are basically good and there's a tragedy. And what do your neighbors do? They loot your family business. That's what they do. If people were basically good, when tragedies occurred, there would be no widespread looting, right? There'd be widespread only doing good. Those who say that men are basically good will not leave the humanitarian relief effort up to the free will offering of those good men. They say men are basically good, then why not leave the relief effort up to men? Rather, they advocate that governments take tax money, which they take by force, and that governments do the relief effort. The problem with that, however, is the history of relief funds being mismanaged and stolen, squandered, misappropriated by relief workers and relief organizations, and by corrupt government officials and UN officials, and funds being used in ways that are counterproductive, failing to use godly wisdom to help those who are in need. And this is all important because they're actual human beings who are suffering. And if we're not wise in our desire to help them, our efforts, then they suffer all the more, and then needlessly. It's like the government spending other people's money to rebuild homes in flood zones, only to have those same homes flooded out again 10 years later. Charity should be freely given from my hand to your hand, not passed through massive bureaucracies, but given willingly by individuals and families. And, for example, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we have forever, since we've been on the air, we've recommended that emergency aid be distributed through private organizations, not through governments. Why? Because governments can force you to fund their efforts. They can force you. Private organizations can't force you to donate for relief, so that there tends to be greater accountability and effectiveness with private organizations because they can't spend other people's money that they've taken by force. Do you get that point? Now, liberals can't get that point. And then finally, what do these Christmas tsunamis tell us about God? What do they tell us about God? And if you'd like to call into Bob and Yurt Live, feel free, 1-800-8-N-YARTS. That's 1-800-8-N-YARTS. 836-9278. What do these Christmas tsunamis tell us about God? Well, it's almost like the Calvinist joins forces with the atheist to turn people away from God. It's almost like that. For the atheist exaggerates the problem of pain, and he tells people also that since we have suffering in the world, then a God of love cannot exist. However, suffering has purpose and value. And if God put everyone in a bubble so that no one could get hurt, then human beings would be even less likely to seriously regard their actions and their lives and their beliefs. They wouldn't care because whatever they did, they couldn't hurt their kids. They couldn't hurt their grandchildren, couldn't hurt their neighbors, couldn't hurt their husband or wife, just whatever we did. We could be thoughtless, lazy, rude, selfish, destructive, and you can't hurt anyone. Nobody gets hurt. And so that shallow accusation against God is so easily seen to be unworkable. God cannot give us a real existence and at the same time protect all of us from suffering. It would be a make-believe existence in which people would be worse off, not better. Then you have millions of Calvinists and Christians who adopt many Calvinist views who tell the world that everything that happens occurs by God's plan and that he micromanages the world and that each person killed, each mother and father, child and infant, was handpicked by God to be injured, to be brutalized by nature or killed. And that simply does not agree with Scripture. You know, the Bible says that God gave man the world as a paradise. And only because of man's sin has our earth become a dangerous place. And that not God, but wicked people have been the cause of suffering in the world. Wicked people. Let's go to the phones. In Brighton, Colorado, John, speak your mind.
Yes, hi, Bob.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was just listening to your thoughts on the radio, and I was hearing about how a lot of Christians will use this to say the kingdom of God is coming, that this is a sign that God's return is coming soon.
Right.
And I can't agree more with that, how false and wrong that is.
Yeah, I mean, things, you know, tragedies, big events have been occurring thousands of times over in the last couple millennia. And Christians will say, I think it's because we have a superficial knowledge of the Bible, and we think we could attribute things to God without him getting angry if we're wrong. So we're very superficial about it, and we say this is a sign from God. This is an earthquake. That's what this is. And thousands of people have been brutally killed, and it's not a sign from God. It's an earthquake. And Christians lose credibility. We become caricatures of ourselves. How many centuries do Christians have to say, oh, look, there's a war. That's a sign we're in the end times. Oh, look, there's a treaty. Oh, look, somebody broke a treaty. Oh, look, a comet. Oh, look, a flood. Look, a famine. We're in the end times.
They've been saying it for how many thousands of years now, every so often, and how longer will they say it? If, say, God doesn't come back till the year 3,000, or maybe the year 5,000 A.D., or 10,000 A.D.
Yeah, and John, the sad thing is that the Bible is the Word of God. It is accurate. Jesus Christ is returning someday, but Christians do such a superficial job understanding his Word that we, you know, my great-grandfather, he was not a Christian. No, my grandfather, he grew up with Christians. And he died about 90 years old some years ago. And he grew up with Christians looking at the news and saying, like, World War II, whatever, these are the end times. This is the end days. And he would remember that World War I came and went. Wasn't the end times. World War II came and went. Wasn't the end times.
All right. Christians are so impatient, too, because if the earth is only 6,000 years old, we know that, unlike the atheists, we're not going to have to wait millions of years in the future for Christ to return. He will return in a godly time frame.
All right. Amen. Hey, John, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate that.
Mr. Ranger, thank you, sir, for enlightening people about these kind of things.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate it. All right. So at any rate, my grandfather would realize, hey, all those people who said Christ was coming back soon, they came and went. They lived and died, and the Lord didn't return. And they weren't saying he's going to come back in 100 years. They were implying he's going to come back soon. Just like shows, undoubtedly, Christian radio shows today around the country, and probably even on the station I'm on right now in Denver, KLTT, saying this is it, this is the end times, this is signs and wonders. And they've been saying that forever, whenever an earthquake happens. And it blows my mind that they don't acknowledge that, and they don't say that. And they should say, you know, we think that the Bible says when there are earthquakes, it'll be the end times, but we're a little confused because there have been a lot of earthquakes over the last 2,000 years. There have been a lot of them. And Christians have been pointing this out for centuries, and the end times hasn't come, and they've been doing it for decades and for generations, and the end times hasn't come. So when somebody says, well, I know we're in the end times, I try to nail them, pin them down a little. Well, do you mean within the next 1 year, the next 10 years? Well, and then, oh, I don't know, next 30 years, 40 years, what? Well, maybe in the next 10 years. Then right away I get out my checkbook and say, I want to buy your house and all your earthly possessions for $100. I won't take possession till 10 years from today. Here's $100. Spend it. Take your wife out to dinner. Because what will you care? You'll be in a rapture. And you know what? They'll never do it. They won't do it. So it's not that they believe we're in the end times. They're trying to convince you we're in the end times. They don't believe they're in the end times. Because they've recognized, even though they don't admit it, that the superficial interpretation of the Bible fails all the time. We believers at Denver Bible Church, we ask God to help us use his wisdom to relieve the suffering around us so that we can counsel ourselves and others toward the beneficial use of our resources and to give a truthful account of the earth's past and its future and the God who made us and loves us. What does this latest tragedy tell us about God? What does it tell us about the world we live in, about the past? In the future, it tells us that as Christians, we could either be part of the problem or part of the solution. So let's pray and ask God for the humility, the wisdom, the strength, and the courage to press on and to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with all those who are willing to hear and help one another grow in grace and to disciple one another and not be caricatures of Christians, but learn and ask God, Lord, how can we be real Christians? And how could our words have substance and meaning? And how can we be credible? So that's one of the goals of Bob and Yurt Live, to get that kind of thinking across. By the way, have you considered reading our manuscript, The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible? It's a lot of fun to read the Bible, open it up, and feel like you understand what this particular book of the Bible is about, what this chapter is about. So call us up, 1-800-836-9278. Get a copy of the Plot manuscript, or you can get it online at kgov.com. And for those in the Denver area, let me tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a neat school, over 100 staff members, beautiful 20-acre campus, and it's Christ-centered. Call them at 303-431-5653. That's 431-5653.